All right, take your Bibles, turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I want to continue on a little bit about what I preached about this morning. You can take my monitor off this mic if you want to. If you remember in Ecclesiastes, I was in Ecclesiastes this morning, chapter 9. And Ecclesiastes chapter 9, where it said that when you die, you go to the dead, a man full of mischief. And when you die, you go to the dead. But it also talked about to those who are joined unto the living, there is hope. We talked about being joined to Christ, the living Savior, having your name written down in that Lamb's book of life. The day you sin, if Stroh is right, and I tend to agree with him, that name is blotted out. You're innocent until you come to that knowledge between good and evil. And the first sin that you sin, your name is blotted out of that book of the living. Remember Moses said, blot me out, I pray thee, Lord, out of thy book that thou hast written. He said, if you don't forgive them, Lord, just blot me out of the book. And the Lord said, I won't do that. The Lord said, the soul that sinneth, him will I blot out of my book. So I want to talk about that hope. There's hope. If you're joined to the living, there is hope. In Titus 2:11, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We talked about that. After you get saved, God loved you enough to save you right where you are, but he also loved you enough to not leave you where you were when you got saved. He wants to bring you along in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. That's a hope we were talking about this morning, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. Now I'm going to read a verse in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15, 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Paul had to deal with a group of people referred to as the Sadducees in Scripture. The Sadducees didn't believe there was a resurrection. Just that's it, boys. There's a fellow I've tried to deal with a couple times in my life. And the last time I tried to deal with him about salvation, he said, oh, I don't believe any of that. I believe when you're dead, it's just that's it, boys. It's all over. Just go to the dust and that's it. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. You know, it would break my heart to think that I would not see my mama and my daddy again. It would break my heart to know that I would not see all those people that I grew to love and cherished in this life. And, you know, many times I open comments on at churches, aren't you glad you're saved? We should be happy and thrilled that we have a hope, and it's a blessed hope. Aren't you glad you're a Christian and know that you have eternal life? These things, John said, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and you might believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:13. What a promise from God. And when I say that to folks, I don't say that flippantly. Man, it's a joy to be saved. Brother Steve tonight, he is praying for health and for wealth of his preachers. And last night on my prayer walk, I was down on my face before God out on an old country road. And I acknowledged to God that he'd given me health and he'd given me wealth. I got a nice home. Got an old pickup truck that I can load a load of wood in. Got an old tractor that I can plow a garden with. Wow. God is good. I said, just thank you, Lord. I don't know why. You know, I've been watching that country music series. Kris Kristofferson wrote that song, Why Me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one? How's that go of the good things you've done? And Connie Smith had talked him to going to church one night. And it's a church I'd been to. I'd been there when Connie Smith was there. I was staying with Gary Boggs. Gary Boggs was a steel player for Nat Stuckey, and I was staying at his house. And his wife went to church out at Hank Snow's son was a pastor, Jimmy Rogers Snow. That's Hank Snow's son, and he pastored out at this place. And Connie Smith was a member. And Gary Boggs' wife wanted to know if I'd go to church with them, her and her, the kids, one night. And I went out there, and Connie Smith was there and got up and sang. Well, I said that to say this. She had Kris Kristofferson go to church with her one night, and Chris said that he didn't know a whole lot about God, didn't even suspect too much, but said when that altar call came, and the preacher preached on Christ and him crucified, he said when that altar call came, I don't even remember getting there, but I was at that altar. And that's what motivated me to write that song, Why Me, Lord? That was his thoughts, as he thought, Why Me, Lord? What have I ever done? That's the way all of us should feel, just that God loved us enough, came to where we are, reached out, offered that free gift of salvation. I'm glad this morning that after I'm done with this life that I have a promise and I have a hope of life eternal with all those people I loved. I love the verse, I use it in most funerals that I do, that says, in his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I don't have that here. Man, I've got worries sometimes. I've got heartaches. I've got a craziness going on. But up there in glory, that'll all be gone. And the Lord wants us to get to that point now if we can. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And it's hard to go there. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, Paul said. Promise of eternal life in heaven, be there with the Lord. Why he would want me with him, I don't understand it. Really feel out of place. As little as I've done for God, I just want to hide in a corner somewhere and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Not only with God, but I have a promise of life eternal with every blood-bought Christian who I ever loved in this life. All those who have trusted Christ. I go down through the generations. You don't know. I don't know. You don't know who in your family from generations back were saved and who wasn't. I have a pretty good indication that both my grandma and grandpa on both sides, my mama's side and my daddy's side, were saved. My grandma and grandpa Holt listened to B.R. Lakin, and he, out of the Kegel Tabernacle in Indianapolis, that was one of Bud King's favorite preachers, was B.R. Lakin. He quoted him a lot. And he was a good preacher, B.R. Lakin, and I knew he preached salvation. And when I found out that they'd listened to that program every week, it gave me encouragement. Encouragement. My grandma Gabbard and Grandpa Gabbard Perry and Ida Gabbard, they were charter members of the First Baptist Church of Harrison, Ohio. Brother Charlie Ashcraft, great old preacher, lived to be up in his 90s, preached both their funerals. I went to both those funerals. Great old preacher. He's one of those kind of preachers that some folks will tell you that don't like preachers said that he's the only one they ever liked. An excellent preacher, good man of God, Brother Charlie Ashcraft. We called him Reverend Ashcraft or Brother Ashcraft. But all just to see all those folks. I don't know about my great-grandma and grandpa. Wilburn Gabbard was my great-grandpa's name. Wilburn Gabbard, and Joyce, do you remember his wife's name? It slips my mind right now. But I do know out of those kids, the two of them was preachers. Ed Gabbard was a preacher, and so was Ike Gabbard, down in the hills, Owsley County, Kentucky. My mama told me that she knew both of them, or she remembered Ike, and said Ike used to preach, said Ike Gabbard used to say, "I preach to beat hell." What a rough, crude thing to say, but he's right on it. The only way you beat hell is through trusting Jesus Christ. But that's a Gabbard for you there, always starting a fight. All right. All my family. I look forward to going fishing with some of my family. I've kind of always, and I don't have any scripture to back this up, but I've always pictured a river kind of flowing down a green valley, and you got a river that's, you know, almost even with the ground, you know, just a slow flowing river, and you've got a picnic table set up and casting out, and that loaded with fish, and got all your family there. Be like a family reunion, man. Chad, can you imagine your daddy out there just fishing with him again and standing around and talking to him and seeing that man eat? I was down at the Chinese place in Aurora one time, and Chad's daddy was there. I didn't know you could pile so much food on one plate. Now, he could put away some groceries, couldn't he, Chad? My. But can you imagine in glory being with those people that you love? And you talk about a joyous time. All those troubles that we went through here and all the trials that we face here, God does away with those and gives us rewards and peace and joy, fullness of joy, and pleasures forevermore. What a day that will be, that song Chad sings. And like I say, I don't have a lot of scripture to back up that, but you know, people have a tendency to see heaven in the best light, the most pleasurable thing that you could think of in this life. You have a tendency to equate that with what heaven will be. And I think that's okay. That's okay until we're told different. The Bible says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Not a big deal for God. If we want to go fishing, if I want to go fishing with my daddy and my grandpa, not a big deal for God. I mean, it's like I don't have to wait till tomorrow because I just live forever. Just live forever. Going to have plenty of time. Another thing I know from Scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Wow. Isn't that going to be wild? Remember the story of the Queen of Sheba? I do a message on heaven using that text of the Queen of Sheba. She'd heard about it all her life, this marvelous kingdom. And when she finally got there, said her spirit left her. It was unbelievable to her. It took her breath away, and she said, "The half was not told me." Man, we need to be getting happy, Christians, because we're closer today than we were yesterday to the Lord stepping out on a cloud and calling us home. Last night, I was out on that hot night on that road and out in the field. And you know, there's no rain supposed to be around anywhere that I knew of, but I could see heat lightning started coming up in the east. You could see that heat lightning and heard even a little thunder up there in the east. And I got to thinking, what time is it in Israel? I think they're about 7 hours, 6 or 7 hours ahead of us. It's about midnight, so it'd be the last watch. A lot of theologians believe it's going to be at that last watch of the morning. There's four watches in Scripture, a brief lesson there. One, first one, 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and 3 to 6, or 6 to 9, I forget exactly how that worked. But in Song of Solomon, it says, watchman, watchman, what of the night? At the last watch. It appears that the Lord's probably going to come back early in the morning. But I got to figuring that's probably Jerusalem time. So that'd put it about 12 or 1 a.m. here. And I could think, wouldn't it be something if the Lord came back tonight? And the wind was real goofy last night. It's weird. There's a wind coming out of the north, and then it'd come out of the east, and it's twirling around, and you could hear it in the trees. And I said, boy, wouldn't that be something if the Lord came back tonight? He might come back. He might come back before we get out of church. Wow. Well, what will that be like? I don't know. I think it'll be like perfect peace. Perfect peace. Where do you get that from, preacher? Well, I don't know. Let's turn to Psalms 104. Let's see what that says. Psalms 104. You heard those near-death experiences, and you can't prove them whether there's anything to it or not with the testimonies of those people. But I know what the scripture says. I've heard people say, well, I saw a tunnel of light, and I was at perfect peace. Well, before I read this verse, you remember that according to scripture, that God is above all waters. And the Lord said, when thou passest through the waters, I am with thee. So it appears there's, I don't know how I'm getting on this, but we'll stay here for a minute to read this verse. It's like between us and the third heaven, there's a gulf of water. Where between us and where God lives. And if that's true, that's pictured in baptism through the waters. Remember when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea to get to the promised land, what'd they do? They had to go through the waters, didn't they? God walled up the waters. Well, I just kind of set the stage for this verse in Psalms. Psalms 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Now watch it. Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment. Who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. Watch it now. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters. Isn't that wild? Like a beam of light, a big light beam. It's like beam me a board, Scotty. He places the beams of his chambers in the waters. Now, and the context is travel. Well, how do you know that? The next part of that sentence says, who maketh the clouds his chariot. Isn't that wild? Isn't that the wildest verse you ever saw? It's kind of like when we pass on, it's like beam me aboard, Scotty. You got perfect peace and you see that tunnel of light. You get an angelic escort to the throne of glory. I'm not sure. I'm just all I got. All any of us have is what scripture tells us. My mama, she's laying there. She's about to pass on. I'm standing, her bed's right here and I'm standing over here. Looking at her in bed, and she looked over my shoulder and she said, there's another one. There's another one, boy. Another angel. Now, I don't know that. She might have been taking too many drugs. I don't know that, but boy, I sure thought of that. It's not over if you're a Christian, boy. And that's not a awful experience. It's peace. For the kingdom of God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Well, with God, I know all things are possible, but I've got something to look forward to, and I know that what I've had here, and I've had a wonderful life. God has blessed me so many times, and I didn't deserve God's blessing. Still don't. But he did anyway. He can bless who he wants to bless. I found that out. But this isn't it down here, folks. This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. My, my, my. This isn't it, folks. Bible says of those Old Testament saints, in Hebrews 11:13 said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The Bible says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. No alarm clock. You get up there. No rent, no house payment, no electric bills. Stuff that you stress over. Gone. No garbage bills, because there won't be any garbage. No stress, no strife, no bad days. No bad attitudes. Amen's all over the building. No cancer, no heart attacks, no hospitals, no policemen, no jails, no mental health clinics. That won't be necessary. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 18, the Bible says, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting life, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. So they'll be ended. No more mourning, weeping. Said, thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. My, my, my. Remember before, was it day four that the sun was created? But there was light before the sun was ever created. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God's light. That's what we go back to. The Lord is the light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now you've got to understand when you get into those type of scriptures, you've got to divide that scripture too from the millennial age, the kingdom age, and then there's a perfect age and the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. A lot of those verses pertain to that period where we get placed in that new Jerusalem in the new heavens. And the old earth melts away with fervent heat. Talk about global warming. You know, a little quick sidebar on global warming. You know, the warming, the Bible says in Genesis 8:22 that as long as the earth remaineth, day and night and heat and cold shall be here as long as the earth remaineth. Summer and winter. It says day and night, heat and cold, summer and winter shall remain as long as the earth remaineth. Will be with us. But I'm wondering, the Lord also says that he'll answer a man or answer a nation according to the multitude of their idols and according to their ways. Wouldn't it be something? And God, you know, God's got a sense of humor. If they keep crying out for global warming, God's going to give them some of it. What if God did that? I don't know that he would, but I know he's done that. He's acted that way before. You keep crying about global warming, won't give me glory for anything. I'll show you some global warming. Who knows? I don't get that. I just know that God controls the weather. We keep and they'll do anything and everything to keep from admitting that God has any say so in the weather. That's the crowd. 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Paul said, if Christ be not risen, our preaching is in vain. That's where he was dealing with those Sadducees. My hope is not in this life. It's not in my good works. It's not in my service to the church. My hope isn't in any of that. My hope is only in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Was it, what song is this, Rock of Ages? Where it says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. I don't bring anything in my hand when I go to that, be with my Lord and my Savior. It's all going to be because of him. None of it because of me. All I had to do was receive it. My. My hope is not in this life. I have a better hope. A blessed hope. A hope that's anchored in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Lamentations 3:24, Jeremiah wrote, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. There's no hope. I was down at Brother Dennis Hicks one time. I don't know if Brother Phil was there with me. I think he was. Been many years ago, and there's a preacher that got up. It might have been Brother Funderburk. You remember that name? Brother Jeremiah, big, kind of albino-looking preacher. Good preacher. I loved him. I used to see him up at Mooresville, I think. But he got up and preached, there's no hope in dope, soap, or the Pope. That is his message. It is good. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. But we are all as an unclean thing, Isaiah said. Isaiah 64:6, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. If you're hoping in anything but Jesus Christ, if your hope is in the fact that you're more spiritual than the guy next to you, or more spiritual than your neighbor, or more spiritual than this one or that one, that's not going to get you to heaven. Your hope needs to be in the blessed hope, Jesus Christ. Just be thankful you got in. I'm thankful I got in. I've got a couple neighbors I need to go see. I heard one of them had cancer, and I was told by another neighbor that didn't think they were saved. I don't know if I'll have an open door there. I'm going to go try. I'm going to go knock on the door. We'll see what happens. But the Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They're all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 2,000 years, preachers have been preaching that. They've been pleading to folks, come to Christ. and you wonder about God's love. You know, God loved his son, and he made his love is available to us. God commendeth his love toward us. It's in our direction. It's available to us. But he loves us enough to do that for us. And we declare Jesus Christ, not because people deserve to be saved, but because Christ deserves to be declared and proclaimed. Whosoever will, let him come. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth, let him come. We need to proclaim his name and declare Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus saves. I have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That's the message that we have as a church. And to tell them about that hope. Tell them about that promise and that hope of eternal life. I remember dealing with an old barfly one time. He's about to die up at Batesville Hospital. Knew his family well. And I goes down by his bedside and his mama was from Knott County, Kentucky. Worked like a dog all her life. And I sit down next to this fellow and I said, Johnny, tell me this. Was your mama a believer? And he started to tear up and nodded his head up and down that yes, she was. I said, don't you want to see her again? Don't you want to see her again? He started crying and crying like a little boy, and he was an old, I've warmed every bar stool in town. And he trusted Jesus Christ before he died. Amen. Jesus Christ deserves to be proclaimed and declared, and all those promises and all that wonderment that God has in store for you and for I and for all the whosoever wills, we need to let folks know about that. Our ladies, some folks were over at the pumpkin show this weekend handing out bottles of water and also living water, the good news about Jesus Christ. You guys had a good time, didn't you? All right. Isn't that wonderful? Proclaiming the gospel. Bobby Branson put up a bunch of pictures about the crowd from Hope Baptist Church, Allison, in the crowd. Proclaim his name. Declare his name. Because I want everybody to go there. Anybody ever had something real good happen to you and you go and tell everybody because you want them to get it too? Man, you ought to go to the store. They got a special on this down here, man. And you want to tell folks about it. I want to tell folks about Jesus Christ. You should want to tell folks about that hope, the blessed hope, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm done tonight. I would like to been in on a couple of those meetings down there where Born Again sang this week. You know, about everybody in down in the hills, there's a lot of folks and just pick the fire out of stuff and sing good. But that group is good in anybody's crowd. They're outstanding. Matthew Johnson, man, what a singer that boy is. Good to proclaim the glory of Jesus Christ and share your talents with God's people. Can you imagine the singing up there in glory? Wow. Going to be incredible. The altar's open for whatever reason tonight. Won't you come as we sing, Jeff?